You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. This is your post-game report. Broncos lose on the road 34-16 to the New York Jets. And I tell you what, everything is on fire right now in the state of Colorado. We're going to talk about it here on this post-game report. As you drive to work this morning, if you're in the office or if you're on your lunch break or if you're on your way home from work on this Monday afternoon, we can take you there. I think I talked about it a little bit. We did a halftime Periscope, and I told myself, you know what? It is my job to be objective. I have got to exclude my emotions. I thought last week's therapy session was great, much needed. But in this situation, we're going to keep it real on today's episode of Locked On Broncos regarding the Broncos and their performance. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie, our good friends over there at Brews Brewery, and Vivid Seats. We'll talk about them here in a little while. But I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos, as well as a columnist over at PredominantlyOrange.com, where you can get all your latest Denver Broncos news, analysis, and thoughts over there. Download the app, Predominantly Orange app, in your Google Play or your Apple Store to get all the article updates sent to you right away. Phone notifications, it's a great thing to stay up to date. Shoot me a follow on Twitter, at Cody Rourke, NFL. Now, the Broncos, embarrassing fashion on the road, 34-16, and really that last touchdown really came late for the Broncos. This score and the entire game was a lot uglier than the score really indicates. This felt like a 55-10 loss for the Broncos. So, we're going to talk about it here on Locked On Broncos here today. But I think game recap, you know, we're going to look at his segment number one. We're going to look at the game recap, what happened, where things went wrong. Obviously, you're going to look at the stats, who performed, who didn't perform. Segment two, complete analysis and takeaways of the game. And then segment three, I'm not handing out any game balls today. Nobody on the Broncos deserved a game ball today. So we are going to talk about a state of the franchise in segment number three, our final segment of tonight's show. We're going to talk about where do the Broncos go from here next and a little bit of a preview, a look ahead to the Rams as they come to town. Things right now in Broncos country are absolutely terrifying. So let's get right into it. Segment number one, I don't even know where to begin. The Broncos gave up so many different, they gave up 34 points. They gave up over 200 yards rushing. 300 yards, actually. They gave up over 300 yards rushing, and they made Sam Darnold and the Jets look like a very high-potent offense. If you had to listen to our crossover show with John Butchko last week, we talked about it. He even talked about it from a Jets standpoint. He said their offense was running a high school-style offense. It wasn't working with Jeremy Bates, and they really had to get a lot of guys involved, and they did. They did that today. So let's take a look real quick at the Broncos' side of the ball. Case Keenum, 35 of 51 passing. I'm telling you what, I said it earlier in the year. If your quarterback has to pass for over 51 attempts, you are going to lose the game. Plain and simple. So he went 35 of 51, 377, two touchdowns, and he threw an interception late on the final play of the game. It got returned 103 yards all the way down the field. Cortland Sutton stopped it from being a pick six. It was ugly. This game stunk. It stunk all around. It smelled. It's like something died and you can't figure out where the smell is coming from. You can't locate it. That's how today felt overall. Case Keenum he holds the ball too long. He got sacked four or five times. Leonard Williams had a phenomenal game for the Jets. Defensively, the Jets were very aggressive. The Jets played a lot of man coverage. They did pretty well, even without Tremaine Johnson. They lost Buster Skrine early on in the game. But the Broncos had the run game going early on, and that was what was working. And then they went away from it once again. Another frustration. So, Phillip Lindsay, 12 carries, 61 yards. Royce Freeman, 5 carries, 31 yards. 17 total rushing attempts is not a formula to win the game. The Broncos came out running the ball very effectively. Quarter number one, Royce Freeman picking up a couple first downs. Phillip Lindsay busting off a 28-yard run. I don't know what it was. They got a little bit of pass happy late in the first quarter, early on in the second quarter. Then they found themselves down. Heck, even in the third quarter, the Broncos at one point were down 11 points. You can still run the ball from that standpoint. And the Broncos were having success. And then guess what? They went to go throw the ball and they couldn't get it. They got a first down. They got back a couple times. They run maybe for 3 or 4 yards. And then Case Keenum would get sacked. 17 total carries for 92 yards is not going to get the job done in comparison to the quarterback play where you have to throw it 51 times. I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Demaryius Thomas had a big game. 5 catches, 105 yards. Emmanuel Sanders, 9 catches, 72. Devontae Booker out of the backfield, 5 catches, 59 yards. Cortland Sutton, his first NFL touchdown. He caught that today. 2 catches, 18 yards, 1 touchdown. 8-yard touchdown on the first play after the Broncos defense forced a turnover on the Jets' first possession. Other than that, the Broncos look lost out there. I'm going to be a realist. I'm usually optimistic. You guys know this about me. I'm usually optimistic, but I think it's time we be real. If you go and you listen to all these other NFL national talk shows, they talk a lot about, oh, well, this guy was just phenomenal. Hey, hats off to the Jets. Sam Darnold played a hell of a game. He did. Sam Darnold looked very legit today. His ball placement was phenomenal. He connected with his receivers. There were a lot of evidence signs that made me concerned about the Broncos, and that's what we're going to take a look at here on the Jets side of the ball, which, guys, take a deep breath. It is going to be something that you hold your breath on. Sam Darnold, he went 10-22, but the passes he connected on were effective. 198 total yards on the ground. He threw 3 touchdowns, 2 of them to Robbie Anderson, the last one to Terrell Pryor, a one-handed snag. Overall, this game was embarrassing offensively, defensively, and from the special teams side of the ball. In terms of the Broncos' run defense, guess what? There was none. It was awful. The floodgates opened. Isaiah Crowell, 15 carries for 219 yards. He averaged 14.6 yards per carry. That was an area where the Broncos struggled. They couldn't tackle. The defensive line couldn't shed in their gap responsibility, and the Jets ran wild for them. They rushed for over 323 yards between him and Bilal Powell. Bilal Powell had 20 carries for 99 yards. 5 yards per carry and 14.6 yards per carry between those two tailbacks. Something is wrong. I don't think we saw a lot of Josie Jewell. I will have to get to the, I'll go back and watch the film and get his snap counts and tally that. But man, the run defense was bad and the pass defense was worst. You think about it this way. Robbie Anderson had 3 catches for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. 3 catches, 123. Big play. 76 yards and 35-yard catch. Both of those for touchdowns. Terrell Pryor, a 20-yard catch for a touchdown. Outside of that, they really didn't have anything. But the pass defense, when they gave up those big plays, it was atrocious. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. We talk about defensive backs. We talk about the Broncos defense. They wanted to go a little bit more man-to-man coverage. Bradley Roby, in my opinion today, you go back to the 2016 season or even last year, he had his worst game of his career, in my opinion, today. Giving up those 2 touchdowns, he got burnt on the first one really badly. The second touchdown by Robbie Anderson, he had great coverage until the last 5 steps of the route. He kind of lost a little bit of separation, lost the hip, and it was a great throw on the outside only where Robbie Anderson could catch it. But you can't give up 123 yards on 3 receptions to a prolific wide receiver, very talented, speedy guy. As well, you know, the Broncos game plan to hold Quincy Enunwa to nothing. Guess what? They did. You know, mission accomplished. Chris Harris Jr. did a good job. 5 targets on Quincy Enunwa, 0 receptions. Great. But then here came Robbie Anderson. The Broncos had the same game plan last year. The only difference is they had to keep Talib, but Bradley Roby still matched up a little bit on Robbie Anderson in last year's victory at Broncos Stadium in Mile High. So, you know, I'd say this is the most frustrating part about this game is giving up over 300 yards rushing. That is something you never want to do. And as a defense, when you give up over 500 total yards of offense, that is not a formula for winning. I felt like this was a college football game that I was watching, and it wasn't entertaining because the Jets were absolutely gashing the Broncos everywhere. The Jets averaged 8.4 yards per play on offense. Passing, running. I mean, 14.6 yards per carry for Isaiah Crowell. Yards per carry? Oh my God, that's a lot. That's ridiculous. The Broncos didn't even have 100 yards rushing. They went away from the rush game even when they were down by 11 points, and they were moving the ball. I'm sorry. There's a lot of questions, and this was definitely a very, very difficult game for the Broncos, and it's going to be even tougher now that the Los Angeles Rams are coming to town this Sunday. And we're going to have all the coverage here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But going back and recapping that 34-16 loss to the Jets, that one stings. The Broncos are now at 2-3. The way I look at the Broncos' schedule right now, I am not sure where they're going to get their next win because their schedule is absolutely tough. And what we're witnessing is a team not really coming together, a team falling apart at the seams this early on in the season. A lot of people are saying, well, it's early in the season. Vance Joseph press conference, it's early in the season. Well, there was a stretch last year, early in the season, following a bye week, where you lose 8 straight games. The Broncos right now are in dire straits. There's something that we need to talk about. I don't know what it is. Derek Wolfe in his post-game presser even said that something is going on, and it's much deeper than what we're realizing. He doesn't know what it is. I think he does, but I don't think he can really talk about it being a player because it would involve him getting fined or possibly team discipline. But coaching is a concern. Obviously, play calling and certain things is a concern. Defensively, things are a concern. I think the seats are hot for Vance Joseph and Joe Woods. Hate to say it, but I got to be a realist here. So, segment number two, we're going to talk about what's coming up. My complete takeaways, my analysis outside of the X's and O's. What the Broncos can do going forward. And where's the biggest issue with the Broncos right now? We talk about that coming up here in segment two. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about my guys over there at Brews Brewery. Hope you guys have had a chance to go by and get a free beer by mentioning this ad on the Lockdown Broncos podcast to get your first beer on the house. Now, Brews Brewery is located at 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100. That's just off the intersection of 67th Avenue and Petco Street. And at Brews Brewery, quality is king, and they only utilize the very finest ingredients to produce small batches of truly authentic handmade beers. This includes fine Belgian malts, hops, spices, fruits, and a wide diversity of Belgian yeast strains that ensure superior quality with your beer that doesn't compromise the taste of it. And they even understand that with all the economic realities going on, the cost of living, they do not want to rush a brew, and some of their beers take as long as 3 years to fully mature. They believe in results, and they believe it's worth it, and we do too. They also are very dog-friendly. If you want to bring your dog to Brews Brewery, you could do it bringing them inside or outside the venue. And they also feature a dog food menu, so you can watch the game, enjoy a beer, and your dog doesn't have to sit there and just look at you. They can obviously engage in some dog food menu stuff as well. They feature 100% Belgian-style beers, which is absolutely awesome if you are thirsty for a beer. And it's raining in Colorado, so maybe you wanted to stay inside. Guess what? The dog-friendly menu helps you out. The dog-friendly inside venue is important as well. And let's go back to a little bit of a story about how Brews Brewery was founded. They have a long-standing love for the fine artisanal beers of Belgium. Both Charlie and Ryan met at a Belgian beer tasting that Charlie was conducting, and the rest is in the glass. They spent years of preparation trying to bring a Belgian-style brewery to Colorado, and guess what? It is now a reality. Both of them have a long-standing love for the fine artisanal beers of Belgium, and both of them have traveled extensively in Europe, especially in Belgium as well. Like I said, you can get a free beer by mentioning the Locked On Broncos podcast and this ad by going into Brews Brewery today. They're located 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100 in Denver, Colorado, off the intersection of 67th Avenue and Petco Street. And coming up in just a second, we're going to jump right into the Broncos analysis of this game as well. But we're also brought to you by MyBookie. I tell you what, with the Rams coming into town, you might want to make some money off of the misery of what the Broncos are undergoing right now. We'll do a Locked On Broncos crossover show this week with Locked On Rams. But at the same time, you might want to make a bet with MyBookie and the high-scoring offense that Jared Goff and Sean McVay have down there in L.A. Now's the perfect time to do it because MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everybody the best service possible. And if you wait until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they will throw you, like Jared Goff, an additional $25 of free play on deposits over $100. And they will match your deposit dollar for dollar when you join MyBookie by using promo code LOCKEDON25. So put down $100, and guess what? MyBookie will match you with $100 as well. That's MyBookie, MyBookie, promo code LOCKEDON25. That's all one word. When you can claim up to $1,000 in free play today when you create your account. Like I said, if you can wait until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they will throw you an extra $25 of free play. Promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. Also this week on the Locked On Podcast Network, you can get all of your NBA previews on Locked On NBA. They feature six teams a day, 5 days this week. 30 teams being previewed from the local experts of Locked On NBA. So follow Locked On NBA right now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or you can tell your smart device, Amazon Alexa, or a Google Home to play the podcast Locked On NBA. Do it today. Alrighty, let's jump into it. Complete analysis of the Broncos game. We talked about the X and O. We talked about the stats. Giving up 300 yards of rushing, unbelievable. Giving up over 500 total yards of offense, unacceptable. You cannot have that. And when it all came down to it, the Broncos didn't execute at all. This is the second road game in a row where they start off their first drive. There's a turnover by the opposing offense. They get the ball back and they score on the next play, on the next series. They score and they go up 7-0. And then they collapse after that. They feature a couple of, they punt it. They have this big break or an incomplete pass, or you don't pick up the first down on a run. You give the ball back to them, and then you have a breakdown in coverage. You have a breakdown in gap integrity as a defensive line. Linebacker might over-pursue. Cornerbacks miss tackles in the open field. Same with your safeties. There's just an accumulation. It's a snowball effect. And what we saw from the Broncos on Sunday at MetLife Stadium was the ultimate snowball effect of a terrible performance. For me, I look at it as there's equal blame to go around. I think a lot of it's on the coaching. You got to do a lot of things as a coach to make sure players are out there executing, but the players have to execute what the coaches put together. I get that analysis. I get it. I'm a coach. I face criticism every week when things don't go right. I get it. It comes with the territory. Players at the same time have to execute. Coaches have to coach. Players have to execute. But overall, the same problems, and we've talked about this so many times. I don't know how many times we've talked about it here on the podcast, but the Broncos make the same mistakes over and over and over again, and it continues to hinder their ability to win football games. And this is stemming back from last year, Vance Joseph's first year. The Broncos are now 1-9 on the road under Vance Joseph. It's not a very good showing. It's telling me that the Broncos cannot go on the road and win. So what's the difference between obviously going on the road? It's tough when you're not playing at home, absolutely. The Broncos have benefited early on from a couple games at home. They play better at home than they do on the road right now, at least under this culture in the Broncos country right now. And it's frustrating. I think I saw a lot of frustration during this game amongst fans. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I think sugarcoating it only makes the situation worse, in my opinion. You want to know why? When you sugarcoat things, you tell people everything that they want to hear. I would love to tell you everything that you want to hear, because guess what? I want to hear the same things. But at the same time, when I looked at Vance Joseph's press conference following Sunday's 34-16 loss to the Jets, I saw a man that was absolutely flustered. I saw a guy who really didn't have any answers for what's going on. It was the same thing, you know. We had a great week of practice. We had great energy in practice this week. We got a lot of things done. You know, coming off a short emotional game against the Kansas City Chiefs, short turnaround, all those things happen. You know, we're looking forward to the Rams game. We feel really good about where our team is at this point. It's early on in the season. We heard all this, but I'm not believing it. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid now. I'm not feeling it. Because we've heard this before, and things do not change. This is the definition of insanity. The Broncos right now are the definition of insanity, where you do the same thing over and over and over again, and you expect a different result. That includes abandoning the run game early on when it's effective. I'm sorry, 17 total carries is not effective. When your tailbacks, when your rookie Phillip Lindsay has 12 carries, and your Royce Freeman, your other rookie, has 5 carries, that's not enough carries in a football game. When you have 51 pass attempts compared to 17 rushing attempts, something is wrong. I don't know what it is. The Broncos, though, put themselves in these situations. The offensive line holds. They get a penalty. The Broncos have an illegal motion or illegal formation. Case Keenum holds the ball too much. It results in a sack. I just don't know where to begin with what's wrong with the Broncos. I think the culture is evident, and I said it on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. I said it this week that the Broncos made a big mistake after 2016. They let Wade Phillips walk away, essentially believing in the culture, that Vance Joseph was going to keep things the same in terms of culture, and that Joe Woods was an up-and-coming star coordinator in the National Football League. They let a guy like Wade Phillips go. They chose a guy in Vance Joseph whose defense in Miami wasn't that good. They could have had Kyle Shanahan. They could have had Sean McVay. They let them go elsewhere. They let Wade Phillips go, period. And the defense, in return, took a lot of steps back. I believe the Broncos as an organization took 5 steps back, and now they're in the process of trying to get things right, and I think it's too late. I think Vance Joseph has lost the team, and this is just my opinion. Okay, this is just solely my opinion, and this is just what I see and how I feel. I thought Vance Joseph has done a better job this year. Don't get me wrong. I think Vance Joseph, compared to last year, has done a better job. However, the Broncos are still losing games, and this is where the biggest issue is for the Broncos country and a lot of people in the media. You see a lot of prominent media members. They're expressing the same exact thing. But 512 total yards of offense given up by your defense, that was, when we look back at it, 2 years ago, the most dominant defense probably in NFL history. The Broncos are hurting in a lot of areas. Trading Aqib Talib hurt the Broncos more than it helped, and it's frustrating. And going into this game this week with the Los Angeles Rams coming to town, which we'll talk about here in just a second in segment number 3 as we look ahead, the Broncos have a lot of issues, and I don't know if they have enough solutions. I think coming into this game against some talented weapons, Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, for example, who could kill you with all-purpose yards. I mean, Todd Gurley averages almost 200 yards a game, all-purpose yards, 100 out of the backfield receiving, and obviously 100 yards rushing. He's very effective, very effective. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a very difficult game. And if the Broncos play any way, shape, or form the way they did against the Jets on Sunday in that 34-16 loss, it is going to be ugly at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. I'm very, very anxious about it, and I think you should be too. But if you want to catch the game, you can utilize it by using Vivid Seats. You can go to your app store today on the Google Play or your Apple store, and you can download the Vivid Seats apps. And when you do, you can use promo code LOCKEDON when you make a purchase for tickets that is $20 off of orders of $200 or more. When you are a new customer of Vivid Seats, every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, and you get the biggest concerts, the biggest games, the hottest theater events, and more. Vivid Seats has it all for you and your family. And we all love a night out. You know, whether it's seeing our favorite band or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team, Vivid Seats gives you the chance to attend the Broncos game this week against the Rams. And you can look for where you want to sit. They're the top source for tickets for all live events, and you can sort by price, or you can look for seats in a certain section or row of your choice. And to make things better, they're giving all of you guys, like I said, an exclusive promo code for all new customers of Vivid Seats, where you can get $20 off your order of a $200 or more purchase. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of orders to $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats, and make a memory that lasts you a lifetime. Can the Broncos upset the Rams this week on Sunday? Can they? Can they do it at Broncos Stadium in Mile High? Be there. Vivid Seats has you covered. With all the purchases there, you can make a memory. Get you there to your live event by utilizing Vivid Seats today. Also, it's fantasy football season, and I got to ask you the question. Do you need a fantasy football jolt? Well, the Locked On Podcast Network has 2 shows for you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest injury, news wires, and more. And Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer. They have a different expert on every day from around the fantasy football world. You can follow Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 and Locked On Fantasy Football on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or you can tell your smart speaker to play the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. Alrighty, final thoughts here. A little bit of a look ahead. We're going to kind of move on from the Jets game. I think the Broncos played their worst game that they played in probably a long time. This game felt like the Miami Dolphins game from last year. The Broncos looked like they gave up. There were just a lot of frustration. There was a lot of errors, and it was evident in the way that the Broncos played. But this is definitely one of the most demoralizing losses in a long time in recent Broncos country memory. It doesn't get even easier, though, when you have the Rams coming to town, and then you have a short turnaround because guess what? You have to play the Arizona Cardinals on the road Thursday night football following the Sunday night football game. You get 3.5 days to prepare. You're on the road on that Thursday against Josh Rosen and the Cardinals, who are actually having a little bit more success. They get a little bit more energy now that Rosen's in there at quarterback and not Sam Bradford. So the Broncos at this point are banged up in certain areas, and then also you have to consider the fact that they might have to make a move. I think we might see the Broncos make some trade moves. They got to get a cornerback to be a number two cornerback. I'm sorry, in my opinion, Bradley Roby, we thought, and I've been very outspoken on this, and I'm going to eat my crow here. You can post it. You can take me to Old Takes Exposed on Twitter. I said that Bradley Roby would be fine as a number two corner. I said Bradley Roby could be a number one corner last year on 31 other football teams. Right now, I'm wrong. Right now, it's not appearing that's the case. The Broncos must make a trade for a cornerback in the National Football League. Why not utilize Arizona? You're going to play them in a couple weeks. They may not make that trade now, but they might afterwards. The Broncos need a top corner. They need a guy that can help Chris Harris Jr. out, and you can allow Bradley Roby to play that number three corner position where, I think the pressure is off of him. I think he can be more successful as a number three corner than the number two. It's just going to be tough. You got Jared Goff in the high-flying Rams offense. They played the Rams. You know, they played the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. Vikings defense had been predominantly good for quite some time, and they absolutely abolished him. Jared Goff almost had 500 yards passing and 6 touchdowns. With the way the Broncos are playing right now, it's absolutely terrifying to think about the outcome of this game. On paper, I'm sorry, I don't see the Broncos coming out on top in this game if they play the way they've been playing on the road against Baltimore, or even a little bit at home against teams like the Seahawks, the Raiders, and the Chiefs. The Broncos are a couple plays away from being 3-3, or even 4-0 at this, not 4-0, maybe being 3-1, because I'm sorry, they didn't come out and they didn't win, they didn't even earn a chance to win against the Jets. They could be 3-1 right now, but instead they're sitting at 2-3, and the schedule doesn't look any more promising for the Broncos. They got a matchup here with the Rams, they got the Cardinals, and then they got the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. It's going to be a tough stretch for the Broncos, and week 9, that bye week can't come soon enough. What changes are in store for the Broncos at this point? I'm not sure. We'll have to see, but we'll talk about it this week on the Locked On Broncos podcast. We'll be joined tomorrow, obviously on Tuesday. I'm going to do a little bit of a recap. We're going to take a look at the state of the AFC West and where everything's at. We'd like to thank our sponsors of tonight's show, Brews Brewery, MyBookie, and Vivid Seats. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL, as well as the Locked On Broncos podcast at Locked On Broncos. If you love the show, leave a review on iTunes. Leave your Twitter handle. You'll be entered into all of our contests. Stay tuned. Details on that. We suffered a little bit of a delay here. But we'll be rejoined by my co-host, Cameron Parker, on Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Like always, appreciate all you fans tuning in and week out for your Broncos coverage. We have you covered with the best source for all things Denver Broncos related on the podcast world. We talk about it. ESPN doesn't. NFL Network doesn't talk about the Broncos. But we will have you covered every single day here on the Locked On Broncos podcast.